enjoyed it, Brother Ralph.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jump on into this. I enjoyed that. I believe I've been to a lot of, I went to a gas station. I was going to preach up in Burlington. I stopped by a gas station on the way up there, and everybody and their mama that was in there looked at me like I was the weirdest person in the world. And I told all of them to come on with me. We was just heading down to Burlington, and we was going to go preach at a church down there for a pastor that was sick, and they gave me the excuse they didn't have time to go home and get ready, and I just told them, come on, get in the car and go with us. Amen. But tonight we're going to be back in Zephaniah. Amen. It's time, chapter number 3. I'll go really quickly. The Lord laid something on my heart that is kind of away from Esther tonight. I know we've been going through Esther, but I read this book numerous times this week, and the Lord allowed me to preach out of it this morning, chapter number 1, about the people God will punish. And tonight I want to look at the path to spiritual ruins found right here in this short but great book in the Bible, chapter number 3. If anybody thought that I would not get off of Esther for a little while, y'all evidently forgot who I was. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like obeying the Lord and going where He leads me. But it says in chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves, and they gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and teachers persons. Her priests have pollution polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Amen. God's not going to go for sin. No matter what you think He will do, He will never go for sin. Every morning doeth He bring His judgment to light, and He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolated. I've made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their city, their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, amen. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should be cut off. How soever I punish them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings. So, grace and Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for the message that we already heard, Father God. May we apply it to our hearts, dear Lord. Father, I ask that you take this small study that you laid upon my heart, Father God, and allow it and place each in person's life, dear Lord. Father, we ask you, dear Lord, to just continue leading us, guide us, and direct us. We pray for all the sick that's in the churches, Father God, Lord. And we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I'm mainly going to focus on verse 2 here, where it says, she obeyed not the voices. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not to her God. But you see, these verses are written to the backslidden Judah. And they're very applicable to today's time that we're living in. A pronouncement of judgment, the correction, the ultimate end. I'm talking about it, there's steps that we see here that lead us to spiritual ruin. A lot of people say a saved person cannot be led to spiritual ruin. But God says right here that there's a way that a saved person can be led spiritually ruined and not go to hell. Because like Brother Allen said, if you're saved, you're sealed in the Holy Spirit. You can never go to hell. But you can go down the path to spiritual ruin. Yes. And a lot of y'all know I like to preach on paths and how to take different paths. And this is one path I don't want you to take. I don't want you to go down this path. But the first thing is disobedience. If you see in verse number 2, it says, she obeyed not the voice. She obeyed not the voice of God, the voice of the one who spoke the world into existence. If you remember back in Genesis, the first sin that entered into the world, the first thing that the devil was able to get someone to do was to disobey the word of God. He said, "Do not eat of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil." And what's the first thing he said? The devil said to him that it will make your knowledge like God and you will be like God. And yet the devil lied, because nobody in this world, nobody on this earth other than Jesus Christ could be exactly like God. Amen. We just can't do it. And we allow that voice to speak to us, and we allow the disobedience to come in. And if you remember, a lot of Israel's problems, a lot of Judah's problems, a lot of Jerusalem's problems, they came from disobeying the voice of God. He told them to turn from idols. They turned to idols. He told them to get away from certain things, and they went into certain things. And church, we're the same way. Every time a preacher gets up here and God ministers to you through them, because that's God's chosen method, is to get stuff across as the foolishness of preaching. And you listen to them, and you listen to these preachers, and they preach the truth, and they tell you what's going on, and you disobey them because you did not want to listen to them. We're exactly like Israel. We are disobeying the voice of God. The voice of God should be, the Bible says, is a still small voice, but we're so caught up in our world, we're so caught up in the things that we do, that we dismiss that still small voice, and we dismiss what God lays on the preacher's hearts. We dismiss what God tells us we must do, but yet we continue to disobey the holy word of God. I saw something the other day that said, "Lord, will you speak to me?" And I had a hand coming from out of heaven and said, "Here, take this. I've already spoken to you." Amen. You just don't like what's written there, so you choose to disobey it. When God told Elijah to go up on top of the mountain to show himself, you remember in the beginning of those chapters, Elijah said it would not rain until I say it's going to rain. Elijah knew he had no power over the rain. He knew he had no power of allowing the rain to fall down from heaven. But he obeyed God every step of the way. And God listened to his prayers. You wonder why a lot of your prayers don't get listened to or get answered? It's one, you're doing them selfishly, but the other one, you're disobeying the voice of God. Amen. Elijah had no power over the rain, but yet he trusted God. And when they went up on top of the mountain and they cut the bullocks into pieces, the people of Baal and all them, they was cutting themselves, asking God to set it on fire, and they was completely disobeying God's commandments by worshiping idols, by praying the other gods. But yet this one man stood alone, stood out, stood faithfully. He said, "Go fill them buckets of water up in the town that ain't got no water in it, and let's pull it on them." And he said, "Do it again." He said, "Do it one more time." I bet you they're sitting there thinking, "This man's crazy. We already ain't got no water. He's taking what little we got left, and he's dumping it on these bullocks." And Elijah bowed down and he prayed. He said, "Lord, set it on fire." Amen. Bible said the fire licked the water up. Because he trusted the voice of God. Yes. He didn't disobey it. He could have went up there and said, "Well, I guess you're all right. I'm wrong. We might as well move on with life." But he didn't. The reason the other cow didn't get caught on fire is because they broke the first commandment of the Ten Commandments, to have no other God before me. Yes. They was disobeying the voice of God. Yes. Some people read the scriptures, but they don't learn them.
That's right.
Yep. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. It says to work out your own salvation. You wonder why so many people's confused and so many people are trying to figure out which doctrine is correct and which doctrine is incorrect, because they won't open this great book up to study it out for themselves to learn what the truth actually really is.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit leads in providence. He will never, ever, ever, ever lead you the wrong way. But so many Christians like to disobey and go their own way.
That's right.
So I can't follow the Spirit. It's too hard. I can't go that way. Judah, the whole entire time, is what this book is about. It's about judgment. It's things coming to pass.
And this is a great book to read and understand. But if you've never read the Old Testament about Judah, if you've never read the Old Testament and learned and been led by the Spirit to see what's going on here, you're going to read these pages and be like, what is he talking about? Why is Judah in this predicament? Well, they're in this predicament because they disobeyed the voice of God. Just like so many Christians do today. We disobey. We move away. We say, I'm not going to go that way. And God wants me to go over here and do this, but I can't do that. The Spirit's leading me down this road and leading me to the path and leading me to my lost loved ones that I keep praying about and leading me and giving me all these open opportunities to witness, but yet I'd rather go the opposite way because I'm scared of what others are thinking around me. Well, I tell you what, you better be worried about what God thinks about you, not what other people think about you. Because one day you'll stand before Him. This world can judge you all day long, but their judgment will never pass. God's judgment will stand correctly and pass. He's the righteous judge. But we see here that they continued to, the Bible says she received not correction. That means they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. God kept trying to correct. He sent prophets like Jeremiah before this happened. He sent prophets like Elisha and all them old prophets that we love to read about and we love that yelled out, spoil, spoil, war and war. You got Nahum that would just sit there. And first off, you got Jonah that prophesied first to Nineveh about what was going to happen. They turned from the wicked ways. Then you go a few chapters over to a different book called Nahum, and they're about to be destroyed because they would not listen and stay going the right way. But church, we have to receive correction. God's judgments are being ignored today. Everything you see in the world goes against what God wants done. There's no correction. And if people correct you, Lord, help us all. They're just judges. Not all correction is being judgmental. Let me just say that. Not all. I'm not a judge. The Bible says if you're going to be a judge, you're not a doer of the law, you're a judge of the law. I'm not a judge of the law. I don't like when other people judge other people on the law. But there's certain things that we have to. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, this book is given for correction, right? And we were not. And if you're correcting somebody off of this book, it's really not judgment. Now it is when you go around gossiping and telling that 900 other people about what's going on. Now you're sinning. Now you're being a judge. Now you're passing sentence. It's not your job to pass sentence. It's your job to correct. But we calmly or we our doubts and we continue to ignore God and only complain. Well, God won't let me do this. God won't let me do that. God. Look, not everything's God's fault. He's trying to correct you and lead you on the right path. But if you veer off that path and you get yourself in trouble with the maker of heaven and earth, it's nobody's fault but your own. Just accept the correction. Just accept the correction. God said, return unto me and I will return unto you. A lot of times a backslider or somebody that's out in the world, they refuse to return to God because they think God is so far away from them. Hypothetically speaking, if me and God met at this table right here, and I decided I'm just going to walk away from Him while He stays there, and He continues, and I'm just going to continue walking, I'm going to continue walking, and eventually I'm going to walk over there into the woods, and I'm not going to come back. I'll turn around, and God's going to be exactly where I left Him, and a lot of people would say, but God's not going to be right where you left Him at. Do you know where He's going to be at? He's going to be back there at the back door with you, because He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you, but when you decide, hey, I got to get back, He's going to be right there, just like the prodigal son. He's going to welcome you with open arms, but you got to be willing to come back. Amen. Accept the correction in your life. And He'll work it out. Like I said this morning, everybody's like, well, God's going to make me stop doing this. Well, if God takes it away from you, you shouldn't want to do it anyway. It's a correction. And believe me, He will correct you each step of the way. Think of Peter for a second. Peter walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, went to the tomb and saw the tomb empty. But yet in Galatians, we find that he is disobeying God's He's disobeying what Jesus taught, grace over the law. But there was a man there that God sent to correct him by the name of Paul. And Paul said, you are putting grace, are you putting the law above grace? It shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be there. Why are you doing this? I always say if anybody in the Bible had had the right to really be upset and mad about what happened to him, it was Peter. Because Paul became the most world-known apostle out of all of them. He's the greatest New Testament preacher to ever walk the face of the earth. Peter had every right to be upset, every right to be mad, every right to say some of the things he probably said in his head. But yet, he loved Paul even when Paul corrected him. When you get corrected, you don't always have to be offended. If God's correcting you, you should listen and take it for what it is. The problem, one of the problems with the church today is when we get corrected, we get mad. We get angry. We get upset. We say, well, I guess I'm not going to go back and hear that preacher no more. I guess I'm just going to leave that church because he doesn't want me to live the way I want to live. Peter could have said that, but he didn't. Peter went on and wrote, and he said about Paul, he said, and then Paul's writings explain everything to us. He could have been mad that God gave him the gospel of grace, but he wasn't. When he was corrected, he took that correction and went with it. A lot of times, when we get corrected, we like to do the opposite of what the correcting was. Same way Judah done here. That's why they're in the trouble. They are here. God gave them all the opportunities. As Jeremiah cried out, spoil. As he cried out, vengeance. As he cried out, his tears rolled down his face, begging them to turn back to God. Nobody would listen to them. Matter of fact, Jeremiah said they picked on me. They threw me in a stock. They laughed at me. He said, ah, you know what? I can no longer do the things you want me to do because them hard-headed people just won't listen. You wonder why so many preachers walk out of pulpits today? Wonder how many preachers end up just saying, I can no longer take this anymore. It ain't because God made them do it. It's because they had congregations that he tried to correct. That they tried to correct, that done them exactly like Jeremiah done them. And they said, I can't do it anymore. I have people hate me, people run me down, people talk about me. I told y'all this morning, I'll never win a popularity contest, nor do I want to win one. So that means I'd have to change my doctrine.
That's right.
That means I'll have to change the way I preach. But if I don't hurry up, I'm going to be late for work tonight, amen. But we got to accept correction. When somebody says something, when you're in a church service or you're in a fellowship with other Christians and the Lord allows somebody to say something and it strikes you and they step on your toes, for so to speak, there's no need in getting mad and angry.
That's right.
Now's the time to weep bitterly because God is trying to reach you.
Yes.
He's the only one that can reach you. She trusted not in the Lord. The unbelief is always follows with disobedience. When you feel like God can't do something, you are being disobedient. Because I promise you this much, the scriptures stand true. God can do what he wants to do. It says with man, nothing is possible. That means I can't do anything. That means I can't get out of the bed on my own. That means I can't draw breath on my own. And some people never really looked at it that way. They think that breathing comes naturally. No, breathing comes because God allows you to take that breath of air in. When that newborn baby is born, the first thing they do is they pop him and he starts whining. You know what that pop does? It allows God. God said, all right, now I'm going to open your airway. I'm going to allow that baby to breathe. And believe it or not, some mamas never hear that cry. They never hear. They never hear it. I'm not saying it's because of their unbelief or their disobedience, but I can't explain why God does what God does.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to sit up here and try to explain it tonight either.
Amen.
But man trusts in things and accept the blessings of God. Man, if you think of even in this very tight day and hour that we're living in 2023, I do believe it is, the Israelites the Jews, whatever we'd like to call them tonight, they're the same people. They're still looking for signs. They're still looking for a Messiah to come. They're still, they missed and they crucified the one true Messiah.
Yes.
And they didn't believe that that was God in the flesh.
Right.
There's some people out here today who still distrust that. And to distrust that means that you're bound for eternity in hell. You cannot believe that Jesus Christ came into the world and died for you and he did not rise again. You have to believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But a lot of people like to distrust that. They like to say, I don't know if I can trust God. If you remember when Moses was first given the first 10 commandments on top of Mount Sinai, that he came down and they had melted all of the gold together and they had made a golden image. And he got so angry and so mad that he broke the tablets and had to go up by himself. Do you know what he found out that day? That there's going to be times when people are going to distrust God, but that don't mean you have to follow suit.
Amen.
Right.
We live in a day and an hour to where man rather trusts man than trust God.
Amen.
They rather sit there and say, well, God can't do what this man can do. Church, I'm here to tell you today, if you believe like that, you are absolutely wrong. Because putting your trust in other man will mean you will be disappointed.
Amen.
That means you will be let down. That means you will find a way to blame everybody but yourself.
Amen.
You will find a way to blame God and blame God because you didn't trust Him.
Yeah.
This whole walking by sight thing ain't going to work out for you. You got to walk by faith.
Amen.
And walking by faith means you put all your trust into God.
Amen.
That means that you trust God so much that you know nothing's going to happen to you. You know, we can face valleys and we can go uphill. And I'm talking about we can just be almost beaten down to the very brink of our existence. I'll trust God over I trust any man.
Amen.
Amen.
One day I might be ate up with cancer like some of our members are. Believe me, I don't trust doctors now. I know I'm not going to start when that happens. You want to talk about some of the hardest people in the world to get into a doctor's office, you're looking at them because I just don't like going to the doctor's office. I tell them all the time, they always find something else wrong with you that wasn't wrong with you when you went in. But with God, I don't have to worry about that. When I step through the throne room of grace, I know everything that's going on with me. He already knows it. He just wants to hear it from me. That's who I would rather trust. I remember our old pastor, Brother Bill Cook. I remember as Parkinson's was taking over his body, as diabetes was taking over his body, his eyesight was gone. He may have went to them doctors, but he didn't trust them one bit at all to fix his problems.
Nope.
Every time he would go in and he'd do what you talked about earlier. He would go in and witness to the doctor. I remember going in one time. And he said, did you hear what that doctor just said, honey? And he said, well, he said that I fathered 3 kids. Papa said, I looked at him and he said, you fathered 0 because you're not the father.
That's right.
There's only one father. You're a dad. There's only one father. That's why I call Father's Day Daddy's Day, because there's only one father.
Right.
And it's God. He sits upon the throne. That's what Jesus said. And to say otherwise means you're distrusting what God said, what Jesus said. Those doctors, they can help you so much, but they'll never, ever, ever fix you.
That's right.
You have to trust the great physician.
Amen.
You know them stories you hear about that shocked those doctors that the cancer just went away? It was there 1 minute, now it's completely gone. That didn't come because some doctor gave you the right medicine.
Amen.
That came because some prayer warrior got down and trusted God, saying, hey, I know you can do this. But yet we rather not trust God and we rather trust man, when God can do whatever he wants to do.
Amen.
If you ever wonder what that does for you, it brings you a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. It makes teachers be persons. It makes the sanctuaries be polluted.
Yes.
When man, if you trust me more than you trust God, this sanctuary is polluted. But I want you to know you cannot trust me the way you can trust God.
Amen.
I'm a man. I have a soul.
that's bound for heaven now because I met Jesus. But I'm still a man.
Yeah.
I'm just a preacher. Yeah. I'm just a preacher. I just pastor you. But God's the great shepherd, the good shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. I just watch over you.
Amen.
I try to preach to you what God lays on my heart.
Yes.
But if you start trusting me over God, then shame on you, because I'm not someone that you should do that with.
Amen.
And neither should you do any other preacher the same way.
Right.
She drew not near to her God. This implies that she finally turned away altogether. Israel had rejected the Lord. Said, he's not going to help me out the way he said he was. But the reason he didn't help Israel out is because Israel never turned back to him.
Right.
Do you remember, I believe it's in the book of Ezekiel, when God found Israel, that she was polluted in her own blood. That she was cast away. Nobody cared for her. Nobody loved her. But God said, when I laid my eyes on you, I cleaned you up.
Yep.
I put a robe on you, a ring on your hand. So I made you mine. And a lot of people forget that today too. That God chose Israel.
Right.
Israel didn't choose God.
Right.
Think about that. Now, if that's the only Calvinism you ever get from me, that's the only truth it is. God chose Israel.
Yes.
Yeah.
God chose Israel. I'm not Calvinist by no means. Y'all know that. But God did choose Israel.
Yes, yes. He did.
Yeah.
He gave us a choice.
Yep.
But he chose Israel.
Yes.
And I said that this morning. If God would choose Israel and put them through the things that he put them through, what do you think that you're not exempt from going through the things they went through?
Amen.
You can go ahead and turn away from God, like so many Christians have done today, and said, I'm done with God. I can no longer go over there. I can't assemble with the brethren. I'd rather watch on Facebook. I'd rather watch and do all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You are more freely to do that, but I promise you, if you continue saying that's the only way I'm going to church, that's the only way that I'm going to get fed on Sundays or Wednesday, or whenever the church doors are open, eventually you will turn away from God.
Amen.
You will turn away from God. Instead of confessing our sins to God, Israel decided, well, let's pollute the sanctuaries of God. Same thing we do today. I've been on light shows in churches all week. I might as well stay right there for a second. Those little fancy lights that go flashing and those little loud music that they just turn the volume up on to bust your eardrums out. God's not in that. That's polluting the sanctuaries of God. They say the light helps the Holy Spirit move. He don't need lights to move. He can move in the darkness of times. Matter of fact, a lot of times when we met God, when we were saved and put on the Holy Ghost convictions, we was in the darkest times of our lives.
Yeah, right.
He didn't need no light show to find me.
That's exactly right. He didn't need
a light show.
Right.
Instead of repentance, she gathered to her priest who would satisfy the cardinal mind. When a priest decides to stop preaching truth and start satisfying you, yes, he'll grow popular. Yes, he'll grow in wealth. Yes, he'll probably even grow in health. But one thing he won't grow in is the spiritual blessings of God.
Amen.
And I tell you what, church, if Satan gets off your back, you need to look at yourself.
Yeah, right.
Because anytime you're doing anything for God, Satan's going to try to stop you.
Yeah.
I was telling a good friend of mine the other day, I normally don't talk about my problems and the mind tricks that sometimes that's played on me. But I was telling him the other day, I went through this time, just it was about 3 or 4 days I went through it, that I just felt like all the people that I called friends, all the people that I loved, all the people that I cared about, that every single one of them was against me. All of them had turned on me. And I know my grandpa fought the same thing in the ministry a lot, that all of his friends were against him, that none of them really liked him, that they only pretty much used him to come to preach at their church and stuff like that. And that's just a mind game that Satan's going to play on you.
I sat there several times, and I got to talking to some of my friends about it. And I said, what's something that I know is Satan playing mind games on me, and I know that there's some things that I need to do. And one of my friends told me, he said, the reason Satan is going after you hardest right now is because you refuse to stop preaching repentance.
That's right.
And you refuse to give over to people what they believe to be carnal minded and that what they're doing is fine. He said, I've heard some of your messages, and he said, you continue preaching on sin and you preach against the way of the world. And he said, Satan doesn't like that. He said, it's so easy for Satan to come in and play mind games with you. And it is. Even if you're saved, he can come in and he can mess with your mind. He can never possess your mind, but he can mess with your mind. But once you stop doing something for God and Satan leaves you alone, you need to check up.
Amen.
Because you're doing something wrong.
Amen.
They took the worship out of the sanctuary. They violated the laws. They perceived to fit her fancy. That means they was trying to, Israel here was trying to do what a lot of churches do in America today. It's okay the way you're living.
Yeah.
America, if you're not living, if you're living against this Bible, it's not okay the way you're living.
Right.
It's not okay. Instead of doing the things they were supposed to do, they turned away from God.
Amen.
She decided she could get along without God. This is the end of the path of spiritual ruins. When you finally get to where you know you can make it without God, you have hit the end of a spiritual ruin. When you think that you can go the next mile without God, you've hit the end of the spiritual path. You don't walk all the way down, then you hit the end of the road. You might not never come back out of it. That doesn't mean you're not saved. But church, we don't need to get there.
Yeah.
We don't need to get where Israel was at here. You say, well, they was taken into bondage, they was taken into captivity. Yes, I know that. They was there for a while too. But do you know why they was there for a while? Because they refused. They refused to listen to what God had to say to them. When we refuse to listen what God has to say to us, then we are in spiritual ruins. He said, I have cut off the nations. Their towers are desolated. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. God said, hey, if you want to live that life, there is another path that leads to the life of Christ. You can live that life, that desolated life. You can live that life of pain and heartache. You can see the streets be torn down in your life. You can see God working. You say, well, God's long-suffering. Well, guess what? God's long-suffering comes to an end.
Yeah.
And when it comes to an end, chances are you are in the path of spiritual ruins.
Yeah.
But listen to what he says, right? He said, surely thou wilt fear me. Thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all their doings.
Yeah.
Church, God didn't say he corrupted a single thing in this chapter.
That's right.
Yeah.
He didn't say that I'd done this and I'd done that. The only thing he said is because you decided to live that life, I will destroy the cities. Now, for God to destroy something he built up, that means he was really upset with Israel.
Yeah.
Church, I'm going to tell you this. I like what Brother May said about it. He said a lot of people were saying the church is dying and going down. No, some of the people are on spiritual ruins, but the church is still going up.
Yeah.
It will never go down.
Amen.
Right.
The church is still going up. Yourself physically might be going the wrong way. But if you're saved, you're sealed in.
Yeah.
But
Wouldn't you rather walk the path with God knowing that each step of the way He's there with you? Or do you think living spiritual ruins life sounds fun? Because I promise you it's not. I've been down that road. There's no fun found there. The bottom of the bottle's always dry.
Yep.
And it always will be dry.
Yep.
But the blessings of God have never given up on me.
Amen.
That bucket gets filled every morning. Yep. Made anew. He said His mercies are made anew. He said that weep as man endures the night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yes. Amen.
Everything I try to tell you tonight is biblical. It's true. And I pray that you're not living that life. And if you are, I pray that you'll turn and face the one that never left you. Even though you wanted Him to leave you. See, He never left Israel in captivity. He was always with Israel. But until Israel hearkened unto Him, He wasn't going to do absolutely nothing about it. But there's a few men you find during captivity that never lost the faith, that never quit praying, that never quit asking God to help Israel and bring them back to the homeland. You'll never find that, but you will find a man about to get cast into the lion den for praying for Israel. Says, Lord, this is our fault. Lord, I done this. Lord, we done this. Lord, You can get us out of this. You'll find prophets that stood up and told the truth during captivity.
Yes.
Hey, I get to mention Esther tonight. You'll find a queen that saves her people.
That's right, yes.
Amen. That's all I got.